Brother Bernsdorf is going to come. He and his family are on deputation to Trinidad and have been working for the last 9 years in the ministry of Hope Baptist Church, Toledo, Ohio. Brother Rick Sowell, who's preached here on a couple of occasions the last couple of years, and good ministry, a strong church. So, Brother Bernsdorf, it is yours. We're glad that you're here. Introduce your family, and then
God bless you, Pastor. Well, it's good to be in Faith Baptist Church. Boy, it's good to be saved, isn't it? I'll tell you what, this used to be my golf day. Snow, rain, it didn't matter. I was worshiping a little ball. I'm glad this morning I can say I'm worshiping the right God and in the right place. But thank you so much for having us here. We did plow through some rough weather, and I'll tell you, our car was looking back, and it turned to a pillar of salt. So if you want to know which car is ours, just you'll find it out there. But thank the Lord for His mercy in getting us here. I have my wife here with me, Vicky, if you'd stand. And we have our son, Mateo. He's 15. Sky is 17. Thank you. And they'll be coming with us to Trinidad. We have two older children, 22 and 19 already. No, 20. Today is her birthday. So, boy, I'll tell you, they're off in Bible college doing their own thing, and they couldn't be with us, but it's good to be here. Before we roll our video, I'd like you to imagine taking five different families from all over the world with different religious backgrounds, different traditions and cultures, and putting them in a two-bedroom apartment, cranking the heat up to about 95 degrees every day of the year, and say, get along. That's Trinidad. You've got the Rastafaris there. Anybody know any Rastafaris? They typically have the long dreadlocks all the way down to the ground. And it's a combination of Old Testament, New Testament, African ancestry worship. They believed Haile Selassie, the 1930 Ethiopian king, was Jesus Christ come back in the flesh. They have a sacrament that they enjoy. It's called ganja. We call it marijuana here. And they believe that that's a holy sacrament. It will bring about world peace and unity. And it may bring you some peace, but not the kind of peace we're supposed to have. Amen? And but you have the Rastafaris there. You have the Muslims there. In 1990, the Muslims went into the Prime Minister's office, held them hostage for 7 days. The Department of Defense had to assemble in a hotel and reclaim the government there. So that's the peace-loving religion of Islam there, about 12%. You have what they call the spiritual Baptist. It's African voodoo and Christianity mixed together, if you can do that. But the spiritual Baptists, when they came as slaves, the Africans, they brought with them their African voodoo. They were outcasts on the island. So when they saw the scriptures, and John the Baptist was not accepted by mainline Judaism, they associated with John the Baptist. So they call themselves spiritual Baptists. Has nothing to do with us spiritual Baptists here. You have the Roman Catholic Church there, about 30%. They can adapt like a chameleon. They adapt the spiritualism and the Islam and incorporate all that mysticism in with their religion. But the prominent religion is the Hindu religion. After the Africans were liberated, the economy crashed in the 1800s. They brought over East Indians. They brought with them the Hindu religion, over 300 million gods. Here's the thing about Trinidad. They pride themselves on being ecumenical and tolerant of all religions. That's not a good thing, but it's good for us because it provides an open door to get the gospel in there. And I'll tell you what, church, it is an open door. I liken it to one of those old fishing ponds where you go fishing, you don't even need a lure on your... You just drop that hook in there and, man, those things go for it. That's Trinidad. Huge open door. I'd like to roll the video and then have a few words for you after that.
Trinidad is a place of beauty, diversity, and mystery. Trinidad is the southernmost island in the Caribbean. It is situated just about 7 miles northeast of Venezuela. Our country has a very stable economy. At this point, the population in Trinidad is around 1.3 million people. 45% of that is East Indian. About 45% is Black Africans. And we have about 10% of other ethnic origin. The Indians, they came with their culture and their beliefs. The Africans did not. They were easily converted to some form of Christianity. The Indians, on the other hand, they maintained their religious beliefs and their culture. Because of the influence of Islam, Hinduism, and a form of Christianity that exists in our country at this time, there's a lot of confusion about religion and who God is. We need to get the truth out to the people. They are lost and they need the truth about salvation. And so, we welcome the truth about God's word and the truth about salvation. We appreciate these missionaries coming to our country in order to help us understand that.
Mark 16:15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I'd like to take the next few moments and share with you my burden and calling. My name is Matt Bernsdorf, missionary to the island of Trinidad.
I grew up in Toledo, Ohio, in a wonderful family. I had just about everything you could have to make someone happy. At the age of 25, I found myself in a desperate search for answers. Through the circumstances in my life, the Lord was drawing me to Him, and I wasn't aware of it at the time. But I found myself in a situation where I was in turmoil. What was I going to do with my sin? How was I going to stand before a holy God? It was at this point in my life that I found the Lord Jesus Christ. I had put all my faith and trust in Him, repented of my sins, and He saved my soul. My life drastically changed after this. Within a few years, the Lord had called me into the ministry. And as I was looking for a place to prepare for ministry, He led me to Hope Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio, under the leadership of Pastor Rick Sowell. It was here that I received my training at Hope Institute of the Scriptures, a 3-year Bible institute. From there, I continued my studies and earned my doctorate in theology from Antioch Baptist Bible College and Seminary in Marietta, Georgia. I've had the privilege of being an assistant pastor here at Hope Baptist Church for about 8 years. One of the blessings has been working with Pastor Sal and learning from him as much as I can about the ministry. My wife and I, we've been involved in virtually every aspect of the ministry, and unbeknownst to us, the Lord has been preparing us for our future in Trinidad.
Hi, I'm Pastor Sal. It's a privilege for me to recommend to you the Bernsdorf family. I believe that they have the genuine call of God in their lives for the mission field. It's been obvious as they've been here for nearly 8 years in the work that they've done for us here at Hope Baptist Church. Matt's been involved and his wife in the outreach ministries, children's ministries, our Sunday school program, personal discipleship classes, and our college and career group. He's also been involved in teaching in our Bible Institute, working in prison ministries, the rescue mission ministry, and also working with our teens. He's done almost everything there is to do in our local church here, and he's done it well. And it's, in one sense, kind of sad for us to say goodbye to him as the Lord's called him onto the mission field. But as I say again, it's a privilege to recommend him and his family to you, because I believe the call of God's in their lives, and I think they're going to accomplish a great deal for the Lord on the mission field.
It was during our 2012 missions conference that I learned of a place called Trinidad. I had been praying earnestly for about a year that the Lord would show me exactly where He wanted me, and He did that. I had seen missionary James Hoffmeister's presentation that night, and the Lord had spoke to me and let me know for sure that's where I was supposed to be. Within just 2 months of that, my wife and I had our first visit there, and we did see the need and have been anticipating what the Lord's going to do ever since. Trinidad is called the Rainbow Island because of its diversity in culture. They have about 40% African, 40% Indian, and the rest is a mixture of different cultures and nationalities. It's a sunny, bright environment, but spiritually speaking, it's a place of darkness. Because of the diversity in culture, it also brings with it many different religions.
Trinidad has a lot of religious people there, but the religion that they follow is a works salvation. We know the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So you'll find various types of religions there trying to earn their way to heaven. So religion here is not what is needed. It's the truth that's needed. Trinidad consists of about 19% Anglican, 12% Muslim, and 25% Roman Catholic. But the religions there are interspersed with each other and also with a lot of mysticism. The prominent religion is Hinduism, being almost 40%. Hinduism believes in reincarnation, and because of that, they practice cremation. You can drive along the side of the ocean there and you'll find a cremation site where they take the bodies and burn the bodies. They then go through many different rituals and traditions and take the ashes and spread the ashes in the ocean, which they believe to be sacred. It breaks our heart seeing this because we know they're trying to earn their salvation. As they spread the ashes throughout the ocean, they believe that the spirit then is better able to move on to its next destination. We know that there's only a heaven and a hell. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hinduism believes also in over 300 million gods. Because of this, it allows for no surety of anything that they believe. You'll have a hard time talking with someone there that believes that they're actually getting close to this salvation state. And they're just trying to earn their way somehow through being a better person or going through more rituals that will eventually allow them to reach that point of salvation. Imagine a nation where men are called to preach and minister, but there's no place for training. We believe that's one reason why the Lord has called us to Trinidad. One of the first things we'll be doing is starting a Bible Institute within Charity Baptist Church to train these men and prepare them for the ministry. There are places all over the island with no churches, and that's what we'll be doing. We'll be training them, preparing them, and then helping them to plant churches throughout the island. Along with the Bible Institute, evangelism is a great opportunity. We're able to go into the streets everywhere and pass out gospel tracts and witness to people and lead people to the Lord. The people there are very open to spiritual things. Because of the many different religions and outlooks on life, they're always looking for perhaps something better, and we have what's better. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, so we're able to do that. Also, the hospitals are available to come in and go from bed to bed and pray with people. Trinidad is a great open door. There are so many different opportunities there to minister to people, bring the gospel, the good news there to the people. Additionally, we have the opportunity to go into the schools, the public schools, and preach and teach the gospel there as well. So Trinidad is a wonderful place with lots of wonderful people. Some of the people there think they have everything they need, but we see it differently. We see a need for evangelism, for a Bible Institute, for church planting, and for the salvation of souls. And we're just anticipating what the Lord's going to do in Trinidad.
I hope you've enjoyed the images of Trinidad. It's our desire to get here as soon as possible, and also that you would pray, in partnering with my family and I, that we could bring the gospel here and see souls won to Christ, here in the island of Trinidad. Thank you.
Matthew chapter 9, we'll read a couple verses here, 36 to 38. This is a wonderful time for us to have our spiritual vision checked, to have our hearts stirred for the things of God, and to have the mind of Christ. I want to talk to you for this short amount of time about your spiritual vision, and I'd like to read Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. It says this, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, verse 37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I'd like to draw your attention to that phrase there in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, and I want to ask you this morning, what do you see when you look out at the multitudes? When I was in high school, I think it was my sophomore year in high school, I discovered something. I was looking at the chalkboard, and I saw burritos, enchiladas, lasagna, and I'm thinking, what on earth is that doing on the chalkboard? I mean, this is a science class here. And at the end of the class, I went forward and I saw that it didn't say burritos and enchiladas. I think I was hungry, but it was a science lesson. And I realized I needed glasses. I couldn't see, and I didn't even know it. You know, that can happen to us with our spiritual vision. And that's why we have a day like today. I believe we're living in a time synonymous with the Laodicean church. You know the verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. Boy, he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes. That's what we need today. We need God to give us a vision. The church has been infiltrated with philosophical slop, and we have a crisis on our hands today. We really do. 197 nations. Jesus said to go make disciples of all nations. 72 have no Bible-believing missionary. 57 are Muslim. 30% of Bible-believing missionaries are in 5 countries: Brazil, Philippines, Mexico, Canada, and the UK. Thank God for that. But we need a bigger vision. 7 billion souls in the world today. 2.7 have never heard the name Jesus. I'll remind you, church, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In the 1950s, there were 100,000 missionaries sent out to reach 2.6 billion people. Today in 2015, 29,000 to reach 7 billion. 1% of Bible college students go to the field. 1,000 are leaving every year. Only 50 are going to replace them. Most leave after 3 years. We've got a crisis on our hands. What happened to our vision? I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 30. I want to give you two things. I think they're very important. They will affect our vision, and it has affected our vision. The first is found in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11. And the first thing that will affect your vision and you need to be very careful with is pride. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Pride will affect your vision. You know who's at the center of pride? I. P-R-I. You know, the devil is the king of pride. And you know, he had an eye problem over there in Isaiah 14. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High. He had an eye problem, didn't he? I believe we do as well. Israel, they went about to establish their own righteousness. They didn't want to give heed to the righteousness of Christ. That was pride. And over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul explains that they have a veil over their eyes. They're blinded, a veil over their heart. They can't see. In Romans chapter 11, Paul told the church, he said, beware, you better fear God and not be high-minded like Israel. We need to be careful with our vision. You know, pride is like a 5 o'clock shadow. You got to shave that stuff off every single stinking day, don't we? Women, I hope you don't have to deal with that. But 90% of our problems in ministry with counseling, and it's pride. That's the cause of contention. And I'll tell you, when it comes to missions, God says, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And pride says, no. That's okay. I've got my life. I've got my will. That's pride. God says, who shall I send? And pride says, not me. Send that guy. In a false humility, we can think, oh, God, you couldn't use someone like me. You know what that is? That's pride. God says, preach. And pride says, I'll give a speech. I want to look good. I don't want to offend anybody. Pride gets in the way of this thing we call missions. Be careful with it. The next is found in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. It's idolatry. Idolatry will mess up your vision. Notice in verse 7, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Verse 8, but they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes. You know what will mess up your vision? Not only pride, but idols. Wasn't that Israel's main problem throughout the Old Testament? They would always fall back into idolatry. I'm amazed at that. We were in our family Bible reading. We're in Exodus, and we were just talking on the way over here with the kids. Wasn't it amazing that Aaron made that golden calf after what God did for them? Delivered them through the blood of the Lamb, parted the Red Sea, and he said, I'm the true and living God. Worship me in spirit and in truth. And they went back to that idolatry. Isn't that amazing? Well, I'm amazed at the idols that we have today. In the Old Testament, it was Baal worship. And now, you know what it is? It's Baal worship. You know what we need, church? We need some more fans of God. Some more people to get fanatical about this radical God that we serve. Think about this. God became flesh. God died for us. You want to talk about getting radical? We need to get fanatical and radical about our God. Oh, we worship the green god we call money. And I'll tell you this, you'll never be able to completely serve God until you completely surrender it all to God. And how liberating that is. We have family members that we can make idols out of. Oh, I know people that are called to the mission field, but their parents won't let them go. You can make an idol out of a family member. And I'll remind you, Jesus said, the love that we have for Him ought to be like hatred compared, or the love we have for family ought to be like hatred compared to the love we have for the Lord. We have to be willing to leave everything. But the main God is called the triune God, called me, myself, and I. That's the God, the idol that we have a problem with here in America. And I'll tell you, when God is calling you to do something and you have an idol between you and God, it's going to mess up your vision, isn't it? Oh, church, we got to be careful with those two things, pride and idols. Our Savior, our Master, our Lord has given us a commandment to go into all the world. Every creature needs a preacher. And I know it starts here in our local town, but we need to have a world vision. Because our Savior had, when He looked on the multitudes, He had compassion. What do you see when you look at 7 billion people in this world? What do you feel when I read those statistics to you about what we're doing for missions and the great need we have out there? I'll tell you, I grew up in a religious home. I never doubted that there was a God. I thought there's a creation, there must be a creator. But my vision was blurred. Because I thought I was going to go to heaven because I knew that there was a God. The Bible says the devils also believe and tremble. Just knowing that there's a God won't save you. You need to come into a relationship with God, a supernatural relationship, a spiritual birth. Ye must be born again. Just attending church and having parents that are saved doesn't mean that you're saved. Something supernatural has to happen in your heart and in your life. It's called being born again. And I'll tell you what, when you get born again, all things are become new. He changes you from the inside out. He affects your vision. The day you get saved, God illuminates your eyes and puts a burden on your heart for lost souls. But I prided myself on this fact, that I was saved because I knew there was a God. Boy, I was so full of self and pride and ego, I was blinded. My religion blinded me. The traditions that I was involved in blinded me. It's a sobering fact to think that as a young teenager, knowing that there was a God, if I would have died back then, I would have split hell wide open. Isn't that sobering to consider a real, literal hell with real fire and no way out? And multitudes are going there every day, every second, off to a devil's hell. And God's told you and I to go out into all the world and make a difference. Boy, I thought I was in. Oh man, I tell you, one thing that'll affect your eyesight is the Word of God. That's why God's commanded us to always have it in front of our eyes and to meditate on it, to memorize it, to read it, to study it. This thing will affect your vision. And we had a big family Bible in our family room under the coffee table there. And every now and then I'd get that Bible out. As a young boy, I'd get the Bible out and I'd look at the pictures. And I'd see a picture of Pope John Paul. I'd see a picture of the Vatican. I'd see a picture of Mary. And then another picture of Mary. And then another. I thought the whole Bible was written about my denomination. The devil knew I wouldn't read it, but he knew I'd look at the pictures, and that's why he put all those pictures in that Catholic Bible that I had. I was deceived. My spiritual vision was off. I was a blinded following the blind. But I remember reading one verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." As a young boy, that verse terrified me. I remember reading that verse and God saying to me, "Matt, you're not right with me. If you were right with me, you'd be excited about me. You'd be talking about me. You'd be living for me. But you're serving the triune God called me, myself, and I. You are your own God." I remember shutting that Bible and just thinking, man, if this Bible is right, then I'm in big trouble. And in my pride, I said this, "Well, God, someday I'll serve you. Someday I'll turn my life over to you, and boy, God, it's going to be big. I'm going to press you, God. I'm going to press other people." Just full of that stinking pride. I said, "God, I'll serve you after I get what I want, my idols. A black convertible Corvette, and the woman of my dreams riding that Corvette. Then, God, I'll turn it all over to you." Yeah, right. It doesn't work that way. Today's the day of salvation. But boy, I found the woman of my dreams. We got married, started having kids and living the American dream, chasing the almighty dollar. The money started coming in, the parties, the vacations. We had everything the world said you were supposed to have to be happy. And guess what? Boy, we knew something was missing. Man, I'm telling you what, I had everything you were supposed to have. On my graduation day in high school, when I graduated from high school, I had someone ask me, "Matt, what do you want out of life? The world is yours. You got it all, buddy. What do you want out of life?" And I just remember thinking, wow, that's a good question. Remember just thinking about it, and I remember saying this, "I just wanted to be happy." Oh, what I was searching for was joy. Because the things of this world can't really give you that joy that only the Lord can give you. And up to that point in my life, man, I played on a travel soccer team. I traveled the world. I met Pele. I learned to play soccer from the greatest soccer player in the world, Pele. Went to his camp, and I loved the Detroit Pistons. Those guys were my idols. Growing up, I'd watch them. I'd go to the Silver Dome, watch them play basket. Isaiah Thomas, Dennis Dumars, Bill Laimbeer. Those were my gods! I got to be a ball boy for the Detroit Pistons. Sit on the bench with my gods. Hang out in the locker room with them. You know what I saw? I saw that these guys were depressed. They were doped up. They had prostitutes waiting for them. And God said, "Yeah, how about that? What do you think of that? Is this what you want?" Man, I was searching my whole life. Our marriage fell apart. We're ready to get a divorce. I'm pleading my case to everybody. There's got to be more out of life. What is life all about? What's the point in living? Suicidal, depressed.
I'd come home from work. I'd stop at the liquor store, get my booze, and I'd come home. I'd get on the roof of our house. And I was trying to get as close to God as I could. And I'd just lay on the roof of my house and I'd stare up at the stars and saying, God, where are you? God, if you can hold those stars in the sky, then why can't you speak to me? He was trying to speak to me through His Word. But I was blinded because of my idolatry and my pride. God had to humble me. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. God had to bring me to my knees. He had to almost break up our marriage and get me to the place where I wanted God more than anything in the world. And I'll tell you, there are multitudes all over this world just like that. Guess who has the answer? Guess who has the bread of life? We do. And that's why Jesus said, go! I'll tell you what, God sent a Christian my way, and she said, Matt, listen, I want you to go on this men's Christian retreat. Lives have been changed on this retreat. She said, marriages have been put back together. I got alone with the Lord. I got on this men's Christian retreat. I learned about the grace and mercy of God. I learned about Jesus Christ and how He can forgive every sin. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, who you've been. God will forgive you at the cross. I'll tell you what, October 21st, 1997, God opened my eyes to the truth of God's unconditional love and mercy and grace, saved my soul. Hallelujah! I'm saved today. And I can't even lose it if I wanted to. We got a lot to be happy about, church. He put two things on my heart on that day. I was 25 years old, just a long hair down to here. God just changed me. He said, go tell the whole world about me. And then go home and love your wife with the love that I've given you. I tell you what, God is a soul saver and a life changer. Amen. Saved my marriage, saved my wife, saved my kids, gave me that peace and purpose. Boy, I've been an assistant pastor for about 9 years. God called me to Trinidad. Boy, lots of blinded people over there. But He's opened our eyes to go there. You know, in the public schools, they have a law. 1 hour of religious instruction a week. The church that I'm going to start out with, they go into 7 schools. There are 7 more waiting. I said, if I want a full-time ministry just in the public schools, how many kids could I preach to a week there in Trinidad? I was told probably 7,000-8,000 kids a week. How about that for religious liberty? I want to start a Bible Institute. They're waiting for me to get there. I'm going to start that in January. My vision is to train these men and take them and start churches all over that island. 1.3 million people. God's given me a vision that someday, hopefully, there will be no more need for missionaries to go to Trinidad. I just believe that that island can be changed for Jesus Christ because I know what God did for me and how He opened my eyes. The hospitals are open for visitation, the public hospitals. My wife is an RN, and she's got wonderful counseling skills, and we're going to go into the hospitals every week. You know, every time I've been there, you can go from bed to bed. You'll have a Hindu family there. You'll have a Muslim family, a Rasta. Not one family has said, no, I don't want you to take the Bible and show me how to be saved. They're so open there in Trinidad. We'd like to start a girls' home there. These precious teenage girls will come to church. They'll get saved by the grace of God, and then they have to go home to a drug-infested environment. We'd like to start a girls' home where they could have a safe haven. Not only could they grow in church, but we could hook them up with jobs and teach them how to live godly lives and give them some hope. God's given us a vision for Trinidad. The Hindu religion, over 330 million gods. From my missionaries, my friend there that's a missionary, from his house you can see 5 Hindu temples. The one behind his house, they worship a goddess of death called Kali. They offer blood sacrifices to her and goats and chickens and all that. They'll beat themselves for days on end. And after 3 days, not one mark on their body. They believe they're worshiping deities. They're worshiping demons. There's a satanic oppression on the island. They are blinded. You saw in the video that big monkey god. His name is Hanuman. He's a Hindu god. Lord Hanuman, a warrior god. He's a human body, monkey face, monkey tail, 85 feet tall. People from all over the world would go there to see that. They'll put food down for him. They'll dance for Hanuman. They'll pray to Hanuman. They're blinded. By the way, our president, in his book, Dreams of My Father, he talked about how when he was in Indonesia, his stepfather showed him a Lord Hanuman idol there, I think 90 feet tall. And he was mesmerized with that idol. Time magazine did an article on our president, and they took a picture of his hand. And in his hand was a Lord Hanuman idol and several other idols. And he said, I carry this in my pocket to guide me, to guide you. I tell you what, church, we got a mission field right here in America. We need to pray for our president every single day that God would open his eyes to the truth as well. I can't wait to get to Trinidad because there's people there just like me searching for the truth, laying their head down on their pillow every night, crying themselves to sleep, thinking, God, where are you? God, what is life all about? The last time I was there, I'll never forget it. We were walking through a neighborhood, and there was a young man sitting on a chair overlooking the neighborhood, and came up to him with a Bible and just said, could I take a Bible and show you how to be saved and go to heaven? And he got up from his chair, startled. He was looking around us, behind us, and he said, who sent you here? And I'm looking around thinking, who sent me here? And then I realized it. God, I said, God sent me here. And he said, I was just looking up at these stars, saying, God, where are you? God, what is life all about? He said, my family, my wife and I were separated. And I need to know what life is all about. And I believe God sent you here to me. We took a Bible for about 40 minutes. Went through the plan of salvation, and after that, he's down on his knees, crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save his soul. I'll tell you what, it doesn't get any better than that. Church, I want to ask you this morning, how is your spiritual vision? I'll tell you what gets in the way, your pride and your idols. Today is a day that we get to examine ourselves. And I invite you to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to give you an eye exam. Would you just bow your heads with me, close your eyes, and just ask the Lord to open your eyes? Do you have any pride in your life this morning? How about those idols? Maybe secret idols that nobody knows about. Our Master has commanded us to go. Where have you been lately? Are you preparing to go somewhere? What do you see when you look at the multitudes? I hope you feel compassion for those souls that are dying and going off to a devil's hell. God is not going to call the angels to go. He's called you. And He's called me. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. If God's put it on your heart to go somewhere today, it might be a neighbor. It might be someone at your work. It might be halfway across the world. I'll tell you, there's no greater life than to say, God, I'm going to put my pride aside. I'm going to put my idols aside. And I'm going to worship You. And I'm going to follow You. No greater life. I plead with you this morning. Would you surrender your life to God's will? Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for calling us and working on our hearts. And Lord, may this be a day of a spiritual renewal, revival. Would You open our eyes, Lord?